Moncrief on News Talk.
Now, on pavements, in toilets, in many parts of the public sphere, there are often separate arrangements made for people with disabilities, further underlining the idea of such people being different to everyone else. But in today's Irish Times, Bobby Hickey argues that many conveniences we all enjoy were originally intended for disabled people. Bobby, good afternoon to you.
Good afternoon, Sean. Thanks for having me.
Give us a few examples of what you're talking about.
So I think originally the electric toothbrush was created for people with limited mobility. But like myself, a lot of us enjoy tools that can make our lives a little bit more efficient and possibly will end up doing a better job than the original toothbrush itself. So I use an electric toothbrush, but I don't have limited mobility, for example. Another example that I spoke about in the article is the AGA. So the AGA was created by an engineer who had a terrible accident and lost his vision. And realized how difficult it was to gauge the temperature when you were cooking. So that was why the AGA was created and now is used in many households for more efficient and effective cooking.
Wow, that's astonishing. Yeah. About the AGA, really, because now it's more of almost a fashion thing that people have in their homes.
Yeah, exactly. Very aesthetic. Yeah. And I suppose it's simple. Like we have one in my house and I can just kind of plop it on. And depending on the temperature and the length of time I need to cook it for, you know, you've loads of different ovens and settings that you can put the AGA on. But I suppose it eliminates that need to focus on the specific temperature.
Yeah. And I suppose that the thing, like, and there are probably numerous more examples that now, and there are different sorts of disabilities. So, and you describe yourself as a professional blind person. When you're navigating through the world, what do you wish was there or what do you wish was not there?
Well, one of the biggest obstacles I would face, I suppose, is other people's perceptions. And I've actually lost all of my sight in the last 2 years. But interestingly, since I have lost all of my sight, apparently the more blind I become, the less blind I appear to the general public, which I find fascinating. Yeah. Because if you had asked me 2 or 3 years ago, you know, what a stereotypical blind person looks like, it's someone that wears sunglasses inside and use the cane or the guide dog all the time. And this is what I now do. But for whatever reason, no one thinks I'm blind anymore. Like people will often say to me, am I walking my guide dog for my blind friend because I'm walking really fast? And I said, I just have my fast mode activated at that time, you know? So I don't know if that's an obstacle, but it's something that I've picked up on because I think it's very interesting. And I suppose people's perceptions of what people with disabilities come across as are forever changing.
Yeah. I suppose in your sense, maybe there's a kind of a sense that if someone is blind, you know, they're kind of doddering along, and whereas you seem to be moving quite decisively where you're going. You know what you're doing, kind of thing.
Yeah, well, you know, I mean, geez, I don't think any of us know what we're doing, but certainly my guide dog knows what we're doing, what I'm doing. And like, I bump into things, but I suppose it's all about how you deal with it. And I suppose I've noticed that people operate with a lot of fear when it comes to disabilities and talking about disabled people. And what I've noticed is that in order to do the right thing and in order to avoid doing the wrong thing, people will just say or do nothing. But I think it's important to note that people with disabilities, and I can speak for myself, but also other people that I know, we have, you know, very good sense of humor, and we're able to have a conversation about it. And we also like to educate everyone about what we live with and what we deal with on a daily basis.
Yeah. Because another thing you wrote about was tactile packaging, which again, probably all sorts of people use because it's kind of handy to have it that way.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, if you're in the shower, for example, and you're washing your hair, you know, I totally understand if you have fully functioning eyes, you're going to want to use them. You know, up until 2 years ago when I had some level of sight, I absolutely wanted to use it to the best of my ability. But I also know that in the shower, it's a lot easier to just lean back and feel with your hands, you know, is the nozzle on the top or the bottom of the bottle? And that would often determine if it was the shampoo or conditioner. But if you don't have vision impairment, you're not going to realize that that's what that is. But there are all these hidden accessibility features and efficiency tools that everyone can take advantage of.
Yeah. So, and I suppose things like, because one example that you kind of cited was that if you're a wheelchair user and you're perhaps going around an airport, it's, you know, you have to plan your route. That's how you're going to get from A to B.
So much, you know, I'm not a wheelchair user myself, but I know other wheelchair users. And of course, I'm blind. So a lot of what we do on a daily basis is planning and organize. And by the way, that's not to say that, you know, people with disabilities are very organized individuals. I'm completely disorganized in some areas of life, but I'm never going to turn up to the airport disorganized. Because that we just don't, sometimes there's just not that ability to get ourselves out of situations as quickly as other people, perhaps. And I suppose there's, you know, the use of lifts and escalators. For example, if I'm with my guide dog, I can't use an escalator. So I'll need to plan for lifts and for stairs. And I think anyone with a massive suitcase, you know, wheelchair user or not, you're not going to want to use the stairs. It is just easier to use a lift. But I said in the article that that's probably one of the only times an able-bodied person is going to follow the person in the wheelchair going towards the lift, because sometimes people that don't have disabilities are often, it's often the case of, oh, well, you know, I don't have a disability, so I have to have the answer for the disabled person. But actually, it can be vice versa as well.
Yeah. Now, I mean, I don't want to pick on the airport particularly, but when you go into the airport, if you're catching a flight, you can't see the board saying whether the flight's on time or any of that stuff. What do you do instead then?
So there's and in fairness, Dublin Airport is great. There's airport assistance that you can go to the help desk there and find it. And I think as well, I know Cork Airport has it. Some airports also do have where you are able to text in. They have a phone number for the airport and you can text in that number with your flight number and then you'll get direct updates to your phone then on WhatsApp, I think it is, with your gate and your departure time.
Right. Okay. And I understand. Are you still in hospital now? You've just had an operation.
Yeah, I had a surgery yesterday, so I'm in hospital at the moment. Yeah.
Okay. And what was the surgery you had done? Did they take out one of your eyes?
Yes. So I had my right eye was removed, and I had a kind of a fat graft placed where my eye was. So I've had a fungal infection for the last 2 or 3 months. And we got it under control, but we weren't sure if it was going to come back more aggressively. And the eye is very close to the brain, of course. So the kind of safest thing to do for my overall health was to remove the eye. And I think that decision was made slightly easier because I haven't been able to see out of that eye in about a year. So that was done yesterday.
Right. Okay. What did they put in instead?
So in my case, they did a dermis fat graft. So fat from another area of my body was basically put in. And I will in time have, once the surgical site from yesterday is healed, I will have a kind of a more aesthetically looking cosmetic eye placed, like a shield placed. And I was told that the artist that will be painting that is based in Paris. So very chic.
Oh, right. Okay. Yeah. And so this artist presumably will come along and paint it to match your other eye.
So I will send in photos of what my eyes looked like when I was a child and maybe, you know, some spread out across the last few years of the colour and the style that I would like. But, you know, I was talking to the ocularist that I'll be working with over the last few months and he had mentioned that he's done all sorts. He's done sparkles and unicorns and all, you know, that's not my vibe, but whatever floats your boat, I suppose.
Yeah, but you're not tempted to do something, you know, put a
not at the moment.
Euro sign or something.
No, you know, he did mention I could have seasonal eyes, though. So depending on the season, if I wanted a lighter one. So we might do that in a few years. But at the moment,
wow.
I'll just... Yeah, yeah. Because it's basically just a thicker contact lens is my understanding at the moment. So I can take it out depending on what the vibe is. So,
Bobby, thanks a million for talking to us today. I hope you make a full recovery and best of luck with the new eyes. That's kind of exciting. That was Bobby Hickey there.
Moncrief, weekdays at 2 p.m. on News Talk.